From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news, first the headline. ASEAN must empower diaspora in the international world to promote ASEAN tourism. Indonesian tourism ambassadors have the potential to make Indonesian tourism destinations better known by other countries. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. ASEAN has many main tourism destinations that make it proud in the international world. To support the sustainability of this tourism destination, of course, concrete and sustainable cooperation is needed for ASEAN countries, such as involvement the diaspora in many countries. This was pointed out by Director of ASEAN Socio-Cultural Cooperation of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuliana Bahar, at the diplomatic forum held by RRI Voice of Indonesia with the theme ASEAN as a Single Tourist Destination, Its Opportunities and Challenges in Bandung, West Java on Thursday. According to Yuliana Bahar, to achieve success as a single tourism destination, ASEAN must empower its various potentials as a promotional agent.
My point exactly. So we have a big homework when it comes to joint promotion, when it comes to producing common products to promote ASEAN as a single destination, tourist destination. Now, what we seem to forget, including us in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, is we can empower ASEAN committee in the third country and international organization as agent for promotion. And also, we can empower the ASEAN diaspora all over the world. On top of the ASEAN mission and embassies all over the world. Can you imagine ASEAN diaspora all over the world? We can empower them as the agent of for promotion.
Meanwhile, Malaysia's permanent representative to ASEAN, Dato Nor Izzah Wong Mi Chu, who also attended the diplomatic forum, conveyed that ASEAN has one vision, one identity, and one community. Nor Izzah advised people in Southeast Asian countries to be proud of not only their country, but also of being part of ASEAN. She also remarked they must be able to promote both their hometown, their country, and also ASEAN as a community in the region. Besides, Nor Izzah asked ASEAN nations to work together to promote ASEAN to the international level. Still from diplomatic forum event, Indonesian tourism ambassadors have a main role in promoting their regional tourism destinations. Their role becomes a trigger to introduce the uniqueness and beauty of their region, such as through social media. This was conveyed by the marketing representative of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nima De Ayu Martini, at the diplomatic forum held by Voice of Indonesia with the theme ASEAN as a Single Tourist Destination, Its Opportunities and Challenges in Bandung, West Java on Thursday. Before stakeholders and university students from some universities, Nimade asked them to introduce the potential and uniqueness of their respective regions so they can be known by the wider community.
Okay, I'd like to appeal to you all. I'd like to recommend all of you to be the ambassadors of tourism and creative economy. Thank you all to become ambassadors of tourism and a creative economy in Indonesia and ASEAN, meaning please explore your surroundings. Please promote the beautiful, unique. For example, you are from Garut. Must be something beautiful, must be something unique from Garut. Post on your social media, talk to your friends in Indonesia, outside Jawa Barat, outside Indonesia, ASEAN, and so forth and so forth. Because by doing that, you are promoting Indonesia, promoting ASEAN, to ASEAN, Indonesia to be known by ASEAN countries, and vice versa.
Meanwhile, President Director of Radio Republik Indonesia, I. Hendrasmo, in his remarks at the VOIRRE Diplomatic Forum, noted that in the 2023 ASEAN chairmanship, Indonesia encourages for the image of ASEAN as a single destination in accordance with the spirit of last year's G20 presidency, namely transformation centered on community-based tourism. According to him, this initiative is expected can encourage economic revival and open job opportunities in the region. Next, we have Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in an online media meeting on Friday has said the Indonesian government has succeeded in evacuating 4 Indonesian citizens and 1 wife of one of the Indonesian citizens to Rafah City along with the Indonesian Embassy Team Indonesia in Cairo. Retno Marsudi also explained the Indonesian Embassy Team in Cairo was ready in the city of Rafah to pick up the Indonesian citizens. The Indonesian embassy team and Indonesian citizens then traveled to Cairo and they arrived there at around 3 a.m. Cairo local time.
Alhamdulillah, puji syukur, pada tanggal 2 November.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to God, on November 2nd at around 7 p.m. Egyptian local time or around 12 a.m. November 3rd, 4 Indonesian citizens and 1 Indonesian citizen's wife were successfully evacuated from Gaza and they arrived in Rafah. The Indonesian embassy team in Cairo, as I said on November 1st, had been in Rafah previously to pick them up. The Indonesian embassy team is currently along with Indonesian citizens. At 4 a.m. this morning, I communicated with the Indonesian embassy team in Cairo and received information that the Indonesian citizen and the Cairo team were on their way to Cairo. They arrived in Cairo at 3 in the morning, Cairo time. Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi revealed the process of evacuating Indonesian citizens from Gaza to Rafah was not easy. Previously, on Wednesday, November 1st, the Indonesian citizens had gone to Rafah City, but had to return to Gaza because the situation was not conducive. However, in the third attempt, finally, the Indonesian citizens were successfully evacuated to Rafah. The last national news comes from Indonesian Minister of Communication and Informatics Budi Ari Setiadi, who has informed his ministry is preparing supporting infrastructure, including the ground segment, to welcome the operation of the Republic of Indonesia 1 satellite or Satria 1. As quoted by Antara State News Agency on Thursday, according to Minister Budi, with the ground segment, the satellite is expected to serve the community next year. The ground segment includes very small aperture terminals and 11 earth stations whose infrastructure has been completed. Now we move to the international news. Saudi authorities have called for caution after issuing a warning of thunderstorms in most regions of the kingdom until Tuesday. ArabNews.com reported on Thursday the General Directorate of Civil Defense called for people to take shelter away from areas prone to flooding and to not swim in these areas. The statement added that people should follow local media for further announcements as well as on social networking sites. The next news comes from Prime Minister Anthony Albanese that touches down in Beijing on Saturday. He will be the first Australian leader to visit China in 7 years. As reported by BBC.com, it ends a hiatus triggered by a string of prickly disputes, including various Chinese sanctions on Australian goods and back-and-forth accusations of foreign interference. Now both sides have renewed ambitions and have cleared the way for the visit with a series of gestures. We end the news with Prime Minister of Vietnam Pham Minh Chinh on Thursday met with President of Mongolia Uk Nagin Kurelsuk, who is paying a state visit to Vietnam from November 1st to the 5th at the invitation of President Pho Phan Thuong. As reported by VOVworld.vn at the meeting, Prime Minister Chinh held the significance of the visit of the Mongolian president to Vietnam when the two countries are to mark the 70th anniversary of their diplomatic relations in 2024, stressing that it will take the bilateral traditional friendship to a new, practical, and effective stage of development. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia.
Commentary is on U.S. and South Korea hold massive joint military exercises. The United States and South Korea again conducted large-scale air exercises starting last Monday, October the 13th, using 130 fighter aircraft from both countries to simulate wartime operations for 24 hours. This annual exercise, called Vigilant Defense, ran until Friday, November the 3rd. Featuring variants of the F-35 stealth fighter from the United States and South Korea, among other aircraft. This exercise aimed to increase operational capabilities between the militaries of the two countries by carrying out major air missions such as air-to-surface live fire exercises, defensive counter-air operations, and other emergency training. According to the South Korean military, it would maintain the best combat readiness to immediately respond and harshly punish any provocation by the enemy through intensive training by simulating actual situations. The joint military drills between South Korea and the United States took place as North Korea increasing military cooperation with Russia. This has been criticized by the United States and its Asian allies as an attempt by Pyongyang to increase its military capabilities in return for arms support to Moscow. Previously, North Korean Foreign Minister Choi Soon-hui expressed at the weekend Pyongyang's strong desire to expand ties with Russia. According to him, relations between North Korea and Russia would become a strong strategic element if security in the region were threatened. North Korea has long condemned joint drills between the United States and South Korea as a rehearsal for invasion and evidence of hostile policies by Washington and Seoul. In 2023, North Korea carried out a number of weapons tests which made relations with South Korea and the United States increasingly tense. Additionally, North Korea's legislature has incorporated the country's nuclear weapon status into law. This means that Pyongyang's nuclear power development policy is made the permanent basic law of the state, a policy that the United States, of course, opposes. The United States and its traditional ally, South Korea, have an annual military exercise agenda that has been going on for years. However, this time the exercise took place when tensions between the two sides were increasing, both due to issues on the Korean Peninsula as well as their opposing positions on the conflict in Ukraine and Israel's invasions of the Gaza Strip. Hopefully, both parties can restrain themselves so that armed conflict does not occur. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
We'll begin today in history with November 3rd of 1945. Indonesian Vice President Muhammad Hatta issues a proclamation. The proclamation of November 3rd, 1945 can be called a milestone for democracy in Indonesia. This announcement, signed by Vice President Muhammad Hatta, encourages the formation of political parties as part of democracy. The announcement was issued to prepare plans for holding the 1946 election, as well as in response to a proposal from the Central Indonesia National Committee working body to the government. The November 3rd proclamation also aims to show that Indonesia is a democratic country. After the declaration of 3rd of November 1945 was issued, several parties were formed, such as Indonesian Communist Party, the Indonesian Labour Party, the Indonesian Christian Party, and the Indonesian Socialist Party. However, efforts towards a democratic Indonesia through the plan to hold the 1946 election was not yet been realized. This was because the Indonesian people at that time were still focused on the fight to maintain independence due to the arrival of the Dutch, who wanted to regain its colony with the help of Allied military forces. Moving on to November 3, 1948, the Cultural Day officially celebrated in Japan. In Japan, Culture Day is celebrated every year on November 3rd. This day, known as Bunka no Hi, is a Japanese national holiday. Culture Day was created to celebrate Japanese culture and arts. Culture Day in Japan is also celebrated to promote the ideas of peace and freedom. Culture Day has officially been public holiday since 1948. Initially, this day was known as Meiji Setsu and was created to honor Emperor Meiji, who was born November 3, 1852. Later, it was changed to Culture Day. The capture of Fort Victoria in Ambon City on November 3, 1950 is the final record in this edition of Today's History. In 1950, the separatist group led by Dr. Robert Stephen Sumokil proclaimed the Republic of South Maluku within the Republic of Indonesia. The government's helping hand to find peaceful solution was rejected by the RMS.
Because of this, the government of the Republic of Indonesia launched a military operation in Maluku, led by Colonel A.E. Kawilarang. The first landing was made at Namlea, Buru Island on 14 July 1950. After that, they occupied Tanimbar Island, the Aruke Island, and other small islands. On 28 September 1950s, troops landed on Ambon Island. After landing and besieging Ambon, a battle took place to capture Fort New Victoria on November 3, 1950. In the end, the Indonesian military was able to control Fort New Victoria Ambon, and the Republic of South Maluku was finally overthrown. And that was Today in History.
Listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on Indonesian Ministry of Public Works and Housing holds Konstruksi Indonesia 2023 exhibition. The Indonesian Ministry of Public Works and Housing, through its Directorate General of Construction, holds an exhibition titled Konstruksi Indonesia 2023 on 1st until 3rd November 2023 at the Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran Central Jakarta. This event was officially opened by the Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto on Wednesday. In his remarks, Coordinating Minister Erlangga conveyed that it is hoped that massive and evenly distributed infrastructure will be the capital to free Indonesia from being a middle-income country. The construction sector can also have a multiplier effect on economic growth and employment. Meanwhile, the Director General of Construction Development at the Ministry of Public Works and Housing, Rahman Arif, said that the Konstruksi Indonesia 2023 is an event to celebrate and appreciate the construction service people for their active and positive contribution to national infrastructure development. It is also to appreciate the enthusiasm and effort of all stakeholders in advancing the construction industry. The theme of the event is accelerating digital transformation of the construction sector to realize sustainable infrastructure development. Rahmat Arif conveyed that the theme was a collective reminder that infrastructure development must pay attention to the balance between economic growth, construction capacity, and environmental concerns of today and tomorrow. A series of activities for Konstruksi Indonesia 2023 have been held since May 2023 until its peak on November 1st until 3rd, 2023. It presents various construction exhibitors as well as speakers from experts, academicians, and practitioners who presented more than 20 themes for conferences and workshops. The main agenda of Konstruksi Indonesia 2023 includes the national call for papers and conferences, construction exhibitions and award, construction competitions, a book review on the event, the ASEAN Chartered Professional Engineers Forum, and the Konstruksi Indonesia 2023 awarding night as the closing event. The public can also enjoy a coaching clinic and PUPR clinic by Ministry of Public Works and Housing, which will provide lots of important information and useful services for business entities and individuals. The entire agenda is open to the public and free of charge. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Seperti kemarau panjang, hentikan hujan, diriku dan jiwaku kekeringannya. Kau datang untuk taruh sedikit air dalam kehidupan.
Menang sendiri tapi juga tak mau kalah berdua. Ingin sesekali menghampiri
hanya untuk sekedar bersua. Apa angin sampaikan salam, surat-surat lisan yang ku ucap semalam. Setiap hari mencari, ku coba berlari, sementara waktu tetap berjalan. Mengejarmu dari masa lalu, bawa masa depan di tanganku. Tumbuhkan harapan dalam anganku, hayalan tinggi jangan terjatuh.
Sejani dan suryani, sang semesta ku di sini. Berharap menanti kapan kau kan kembali. Mataku terpejam, menjadi diri tak karuan. La 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 la. Palingkan titip kasangku padamu. La 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 la. Palingkan titip kasangku padamu.
Ku bicara tentangmu, jangan gelisah menjahit kisah. Bila kau jadi jarum, aku jadi benangmu. Apa yang ada di benakmu, ceritakan dengan tenang di pinggir kolam renang. Jangan beri pelampung ke matahari yang tenggelam. Bila senja datang gelap menyerang, itu waktu yang sempurna untuk terus terang. Aku nyaman denganmu, tak ingin hanya bertamu. Bila ku hidup 100 tahun, ingin turut serta mulia. Doaku di tiap tiup lilin, dekatkan ku dengan orang yang kupilih. Lalu naik ke tingkat selanjutnya dengan bangga. Tak ada lift eskalator tapi rumah bertangga. Nona jangan takut, Nona jangan ragu. Ku hanya pujangga, tapi aku sanggup. Nona jangan takut, Nona jangan ragu. Suryani, Senjani, kau berada di tangan pemberani. Lace. Sedihmu, senangmu, gaduhmu, tenangmu, bagi itu denganku. Sedihmu, senangmu, gaduhmu. Sedihmu, senangmu, gaduhmu, tenangmu, bagi itu denganku. Tenangmu, cemasmu, biarkan ku menjadi emasmu. Suryani, Senjani, kau berada di tangan pemberani.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next, we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. When you travel to Brebes, Central Java, you have to visit the Kaligua Tea Garden Agrotourism in Pandansari Village. This tourism attraction is considered legendary because the Kaligua Tea Plantation is a legacy of the Dutch colonial period, which was founded in 1832. It is located about 75 kilometers from the city center of Brebes, Kaligua Agrotourism. The area is managed by PT Perkebunan Nusantara 9 Central Java. The attraction is a stretch of tea plantation which covers an area of 620 hectares at an altitude of 1,500 to 2,050 meters above sea level. By paying a ticket of 20,000 or $1.26 per person, You can also enjoy and do some activities at Kaligua Agrotourism. Even you can walk around the 620 hectare tea plantation while enjoying the beautiful views and fresh air. One of the popular spots in Kaligua Agrotourism is Puncak Sakub. It is the highest point in the Kaligua Agrotourism area at an altitude of 2,050 meters above sea level. From this location, you can see the panoramic view of Mount Slamet and Mount Ciremai in the morning. In the middle of a stretch of tea plantation, you can also find the Japanese cave, an artificial cave 800 meters deep which was created during the Japanese colonial period around 1942. This cave used to function as a place to store Japanese foodstuffs and a place to formulate strategies. When exploring the Japanese cave, you will be accompanied by a guide because there are a number of entrances that lead to the cliff. Listener, when you are in Kaligua Agrotourism, please don't miss enjoying the freshness of Tuk Bening water. It is a natural spring that is very fresh and clear. The water is believed to have a number of benefits, namely, it can cure skin diseases and make you stay young. There is also a cheerful wooden bridge located in the Kaligua Tea Garden. This location is one of tourists' favorite photo spots because it offers Instagrammable views. Moreover, the wooden bridge has several branches that will take you around the tea plantation area. There are also a number of gazebos between wooden bridges as a resting place for tourists while touring the tea gardens. Being in a tea garden, you will be regretful if you miss the educational tourism activity, namely the process of making tea at a tea factory. Although it is hundreds of years old, this tea factory is still actively operating. As a matter of fact, its tea products have succeeded in penetrating the export market to the Netherlands, China, and Australia. To see the tea making process at the factory, you also have to buy a separate ticket for 10,000 rupiah per person. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder read by Ahmad Faisal.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, for those of you who enjoy performing arts, especially traditional dance, and you happen to be in Jakarta, Indonesia, there will be a special performance this November from Komunitas Perempuan Menari, or Women Dancing Community. The community is a place for women who have similar interest in dance, especially Indonesian dance. This year, Komunitas Perempuan Menari will hold a dance performance with the theme Renggana on November 4th at the Jakarta Art Building. The dance performance theme Renggana means adored woman. It is also interpreted as a loyal, compassionate, and loving woman. Besides, Renggana is a character who likes challenges, has a flexible personality, wants to live in peace, and wants intellectual equality with his partner. The two-hour performance will feature 7 short dances and a choreographed dance entitled Tuah Penyemangat Riau, or A Lock of Encouragement from Riau.
Ada Renggana ini kan judul.
Renggana means adored woman, featuring women who love Indonesian culture. In this dance, there will be 7 short dances by these adored women and 1 choreographed dance with the title A Lock of Encouragement from Riau.
Apa ya, menimbulkan power dari dalam diri.
The 7 short dances are of Minang West Sumatra, Palembang South Sumatra, Java, Betawi Native Jakarta, Maluku, and contemporary dances. The choreographed dance is a choreographic work inspired by Chapter 6 of Gurindam 12 literary work by Raja Ali Haji. Listener, Renggana performance is the 5th performance from the community. Through this performance, they hope their people could protect and maintain Indonesian culture regardless of age or time. Renggana performance is also a manifestation of the desire of loving culture women to preserve Indonesian culture. Women who initially may not have had a background in dance now want to live out their desire to preserve culture in a unique way. Well, that ends Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Time else, 'cause I just wanna hold you. Will DTR when will
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in this edition of Music Corner, we will play a song from Jambi in Sumatra titled Injit Injit Semut. This is a folk song that usually accompanies the Jambi children's game of pinching each other. With a cheerful and happy tune, Injit Injit Semut is a regional song that is easy to follow and sing. The lyrics of Injit Injit Semut contain advice about good attitudes in making friends. The lyrics remind us that if we hurt someone below us, then we will also be hurt by someone above us. The song Injit Injit Semut also conveys the message that what goes around comes around. The lyrics also teach loyalty by not abandoning friends when in trouble. Okay, listeners, this is Tikus with Injit Injit Semut from Jambi. Enjoy!
Voice of Indonesia.
When the sun looks good, slowly drowned, going down over the sea. It was all golden in the sky. Look around, look around. You've got a friend in me.
And when you're standing tall, everyone looks you for what they see. It was all golden in the sky. Look around, look around. You've got a friend in me.
You've got a friend in me. In between signs and at times, rhymes in our lines, I will stand by you.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.